Hello, everyone. We want to welcome you to Freedom's Way Ministries and our message for tonight. If you have opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting, so there are going to be people dialing in from across the country. To give them an opportunity to get here and get settled, we'll begin our message in about 3 to 5 minutes. So hang on with us. And anytime you would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday and Friday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090. Enter an access code to get you in the correct conference. That number is 373-363-POUND. It spells free me on your telephone keypad. You can also go online to www.freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and how to support our ministry. And if you haven't been on the website in a while, those of you who have already dialed in, you might want to check it out. We've added a few things and made it a little more user-friendly for you. So, welcome. Who wants to say hello? Hallelujah. Now is your chance to tell me you're here.
I'm here. This is Helen.
Thank you, Helen.
Quite welcome.
Hallelujah. And this is a wonderful series that we're in. And these chapters that we're going into now, I was really thrilled with the way that it came together. So I think you'll be blessed with the message tonight and next week. Anybody want to say hello? A lot of people don't like to speak up because of being recorded, but those of you who do, I'm glad that you do, so that I know who's on the line before I get my call report.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We'll give everybody another couple minutes. Anybody that's lagging behind? Pastor Phil needs to get in here. He's a little bit lagging behind, but that's okay. We give him grace. Hi, Vicki. Hi, welcome.
Welcome. What a beautiful day. Green is beautiful. Just makes that grass grow.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I'll send you one of my goats.
I'll send you one of your goats. I need one.
Cut your grass for you.
Oh, I moved the other day, and I hurt the rest of it another day.
Hallelujah. Okay, we're almost ready to begin. Anybody else want to say hello before we do? Now's your chance. Okay, I am going to mute your telephones and we'll get started. Praise the Lord forever. Good evening, my dear.
Good evening. Hallelujah. Welcome. My name is Phil Burdett. I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and we are Freedom's Way Ministries. Our mission is to help you to come into your true identity in Christ, to walk in all the benefits of kingdom living and kingdom authority, and to help you to avoid the pitfalls that would hinder you, or I would say trip you up in that walk. So we are here for you any way we can help you to walk in God's power on the earth as you were destined and designed to do. And so I'm going to pray us in tonight. We'll get started. Father, we just thank you for your word, your anointing on your word. Thank you that you are speaking to your people through your word, and that signs and wonders follow. We are thankful people. We give you honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, I turn aside any assignment from hell that would seek to disrupt, distort, or to blunt the power of the message that God wants you to have. So we thank you, Lord, for all you're doing, your power and your word. Just ask you to empower us to speak it as you would have it heard. And it's all to your glory, Father. And we thank you that you're with us. We thank you for your goodness. And we give you honor and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, those who have forgotten it's Monday, give them a little nudge to come on the line before they miss something. Hallelujah. We are well into a series that has been titled Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. And tonight, we are going to begin a two-week teaching on Ezra chapters 4 through 6. We're going to share a few insights concerning the rebuilding of Jerusalem and how this account applies to our lives today. So we'll do our best to explore the principles that are revealed in three chapters over the next 2 weeks. So hang in here with us. You will be blessed. I'd like to remind everybody of what this series is about. It's been probably 6 weeks or so that we've been exploring stories of the prophets as they are recorded in the Hebrew Scriptures in order to learn and to grow from these accounts. Our foundational scripture for the series is 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the one which states, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And this means every word of God is meant to teach us, to convict us, to set our lives in order, and to train us to be just like Jesus, who is our only true righteousness. Hallelujah. Every page speaks of Jesus Christ, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Now, going into Ezra chapter 4, I'll give you just a little bit of preview. The Israelites had been in captivity for some time, and when Cyrus became king of Persia, God spoke to him to let the Hebrews go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Now, I believe that this is another interesting testimony to the fact that God speaks to everybody, not just the saved. Most of the church seems to think that God only speaks to those who are faithful followers of Christ. I was talking to a lady today who was taught that God doesn't, you know, he doesn't talk to her. He doesn't speak to her. He doesn't hear her prayers because she smokes cigarettes. That is just so far off the chart. God speaks to everybody, and he's interested in all of us. He doesn't just speak to those who are not doing anything wrong, the ones who are in church every Sunday, so on and so on. If that were true, that God doesn't speak to heathens even, then none of us would have ever been saved. If the Holy Spirit of God could not speak to you, you would not have been drawn to Jesus Christ. But I'm digressing here. Lest I digress, once again, we're going to read the entire chapter 4 of Ezra, and then we'll go back and point out a few principles. Now, there are many names in here. Just kind of bear with us through these names. And understand that, again, every word of God, every word of God is important. And God did say he would follow his word with signs. That has certainly been happening during this series. And we are in great anticipation of even more freedom from the Lord after tonight's message. Right?
Amen.
Yeah, light. You are light. Okay, hallelujah. Here we go. Ezra chapter 4. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity built the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assur, which brought us up here. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, you have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even unto the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, wrote Bishlam, Mithridat, Tabeel, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxerxes, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. Rehum, the chancellor of Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, in this sort. And this then wrote Rehum, the chancellor, and Shimshai, the scribe, and the rest of their companions, the Dinaites, the Apharsathites, the Tarpalites, the Apharsites, the Archivites, the Babylonians, the Susanchites, the Dehavites, and the Elamites. Elamites.
Yeah.
Jack must have been one of them.
Maybe.
And the rest of the nations, whom the great and noble Asnapar brought over and set in the cities of Samaria, and the rest that are on this side of the river, and at such a time, this is the copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxerxes the king, your servants, the men on this side of the river, and at such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from you to us, are coming to Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up walls thereof and joined the foundation. Be it known now unto the king that if this city is built and the wall set up again, then will they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom, so you shall damage the revenue of the kings. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore we have sent and certified the king, that search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers, so you shall find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king that if this city is built again and the walls thereof set up, by this means you shall have no portion on this side of the river. Then the king sent an answer unto Rehum the chancellor, and to Shimshai the scribe, and to the rest of their companions that dwelt in Samaria, and then to the rest beyond the river, peace, and at such a time the letter which you sent unto us has been plainly read before me, and I commanded, and search has been made, and it's found that this city of old time has made insurrection against kings, and that rebellion and sedition have been found, have been made therein. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toll and tribute and custom was paid unto them. Give you now commandment to cause these men to cease, that this city should not be built until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of the king Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them cease by force and power. They ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased into the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
End of chapter 4. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And I think you get the picture. Before this chapter begins, the foundation of the house of the Lord had been laid, and the people were shouting and praising God. And then the adversaries of the children of captivity who had been brought back to the land began to reveal themselves. We want to be a part of what you're doing, they said. There's a great deal to learn from this. The first thing is not all who say they are with you truly are with you. Should I say that again? Not everybody that appears to be on your side really is. They may want to reap the benefits of your labor and faithfulness, or they may want to be close to you so they can mess things up for you. Or perhaps they might have another self-serving purpose in asking to join you. People will often have selfish motives for what they're doing. And people will often use manipulation to achieve their goals, disregarding the damage they cause in their wake as they speed by. Now, this is where we all need to exercise discernment. Pardon me. Once the foundation is laid for our purpose in God, we should be very cautious as to whom we allow to build on that foundation or to help us in the building process. Don't be drawn off into error or false doctrine because it makes sense. Remember, you know, the carnal mind is enmity with God. Don't be drawn off into error or false doctrine because it feels good or that it's easy to accept or maybe that people, the people that are involved seem really nice and accommodating. There are many churches teaching false doctrine, and the people in those churches will love bomb you to acquire your attendance and get your money. If you don't have a sure foundation in the love of God and His Word, it's easy to go astray without realizing it.
Help us, Lord.
Another thing to notice is that it's always when the foundation's been laid that the adversary tries to enter the work. Our sure foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only when we are born again and doing our best to build on the rock of Jesus that Satan devises plans to stop us. First, he wants to join in and make us religious and self-righteous. This is an example of those churches that unknowingly corrupt our thinking so that we miss developing a true relationship with our Father in heaven and His Son and the Holy Spirit. Next, he tries to distract us from the truth and love and enter into the deception of doing good works to achieve a position in the kingdom.
Yeah. Earn our way in. Or maybe in the church. People do a lot of good works in the church so they can be noticed or so they can be, you know, put into a position at that place. Now, we're not saying that a Christian isn't supposed to do good works. Please, hear my heart. What we are saying is that good works will naturally follow your faith in God. You can do good works without having true faith, but you can't have true faith without doing good works. They just naturally follow. You're compelled by the Holy Spirit to serve others, to love others. You're not compelled by a spirit of self-righteousness, making yourself look good in the eyes of those around you. You're not compelled by a spirit of guilt or shame, working out of obligation or trying to cover up for your own perceived inadequacies. Many of us need to accept that God created us for His purpose and that we each and every one, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are suited to that purpose in God. He loves us when we do good and when we don't. And He is changing us and leading us from glory to glory, strength to strength, and faith to faith. That means from my glory to His glory, from my strength to His strength, from my faith to His faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are all living stones in the temple of the living God. Just as each one of us is a habitation for God, we are the temple made without hands. Every action and attitude we have and express, everything we do from our born-again moment goes into building the temple. It will either be a suitable habitation for our God or He won't come in. It's that simple.
Wow.
So we need to be aware of who's trying to join in the work to pull us off track, to put a square peg in a round hole, or otherwise gum up the works. And it's pretty certain that the enemy will send somebody to do those things. Our job is to recognize the spirits on assignment that desire to cause us to build with wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold, silver, and precious stones. And to stay close to and depend on faithful, like-minded people to help us put the pieces together.
Amen. Amen. And I really like what you said there. We, as the temple of God, are either going to be a suitable habitation for our God or he won't come in. I remember once a man said that he was just talking to the Lord one day in his mind, and he said, you know, Lord, your word says you would come in and sup with us. Would you really come and sup with me? And he heard the Lord say very clearly, would I be happy thinking your thoughts? And it was very convicting. Would I be happy thinking your thoughts? Now, according to the word of the prophet, the enemy was turned away. No thanks, we'll build this temple without you, without your involvement. Zerubbabel answered the adversaries, we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel. We ourselves together. In other words, all of us who came to do this work will continue in this work, united as one in agreement with God. So, now we need to notice this. The enemy doesn't just go away simply because he's not welcome. Pardon me. The adversaries of Judah and Benjamin began to threaten and intimidate and do whatever they could to stop the work. When you get over into Nehemiah, Nehemiah speaks of the people working with one hand and wielding a weapon with the other. And the aggravation did not let up. This plan of the enemy to frustrate their purpose, to break up their work, continued through the reign of Cyrus and into the reign of different kings over the land. It gets a little confusing because the first king of Persia mentioned after Cyrus is Darius, but there were a couple of others in between.
The king immediately after Cyrus was Ahasuerus. In the Hebrew, Ahasuerus, who was the son of Cyrus and was named Cambyses. It can be confusing if you don't study it out because you won't know who's who and which king goes with which country and so on. In some cases, the difference in the names is simply a matter of languages, but here, Ahasuerus is a title and not the actual name of the king. Anyway, Cambyses reigned 7 years and 5 months, and the throne of Persia was usurped by Artaxerxes, who claimed to be Cambyses' brother Smerdis. He was known by several other names, which are not really important to the message, and he reigned only 7 months.
Because he had so many aliases.
And he was only around 7 months. During the short reign of Artaxerxes, the enemies of Judah and Benjamin, remember these enemies are their own neighbors, wrote an accusation against them. You see, they did not want their lives interrupted by the God of Israel. Consider how your own family members and friends are blissfully happy living in the world, following the crowd, enjoying what they believe are pleasures, and even perhaps piling up what they consider treasures. They don't understand why you have to be so serious about God, why you spend time in His Word, and they don't like being reminded of their own sins simply by seeing you. That is true. You know, that's about, well, we'll get to that in a minute. When your life is the testimony of Jesus Christ, some of your friends and family members might be envious and want what you have. Others will reject you, and some may even work to bring you down.
That's right. They work really hard to try to prove to you there's no God.
True.
Verse 9 names some of the princes of the Antichrist spirit. These are demonic influences which come out of the world from unknown places. They cause confusion, they can be strong and mighty, and they can hang around a long time waiting for opportunity to upset our lives. The instigators of evil against the Jews gathered together from different people, from surrounding nations, and their purpose was to thwart and delay the plan of God in the nation of Israel. That happens today in both the natural and in the spirit realms. Someone is always stirring up trouble whenever there is a building up of God's people. Think about it. Have you noticed how easily we can participate in gossip? How quickly we can fall in line with the word of condemnation? The devil has trained most of us so well that it's comfortable for us to be swept up into a kind of lynch mob mentality. Help us, Lord.
That's amazingly true. So all these nations banded together against the plan of God. These people got together and signed on to the plan to oust the Jews and stop building the temple. Notice how they went about doing this. They used the past as an accusation against them. You see, King, these people rebelled in the past, and if you let them build up their city again, they'll just rebel again. You need to know that these are rebellious people. They have a history that doesn't look so good. And if you let them rebuild their hometown, things are not going to be good for you. They'll stop paying taxes and all those fees that keep your kingdom operating. What? Well, right, hit them in the pocketbook. What they said was not entirely untrue. It was simply twisted truth spoken from a spirit of accusation in order to hinder the work of rebuilding and to maintain their own comfort level. Verse 14 brings us to the underlying motivation of the persecution. Because we receive our livelihood from your kingdom, it would be terrible for us to see you impoverished due to the lack of tax and fee and customs revenue. So we're writing to straighten you out about these Jews. If you don't believe us, go look it up for yourself. You'll see how they rebelled in times past and caused harm. They'll just do it again if you don't stop them. You can see the battle of the past and how the devil uses our past against us, how he moves people to judge us for who they think we are based on our past actions and attitudes. They even did it with Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, that's just, you know, that's Jesus. We know him. I mean, we know his mom and his pop and his brothers and sisters. Who can he be?
Yeah.
Same thing. And this kind of witchcraft works to delay the fulfillment of the plan and the purposes of God in our lives.
Amen. So let's review a few of the principles that are revealed here in chapter 4 of Ezra. First of all, it's clear that not everyone who says they want to be a part of what we're doing with God really wants to see us succeed. Not everyone who says they're with us is really with us. Matthew 7, verse 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have cast out devils? And in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them.
Next, if we are following the plan and purpose of God, the devil will try to stop us. He's clever and relentless. You can see this in 1 Peter 5 and 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Thank you, Lord. The third principle we see, the temple we're building is ourselves, our own lives, spirit, soul, and body. And it's up to us how we build on the foundation of our salvation. It's up to us. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 16. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds their own. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be burned, and he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?
Next, we should realize that the people closest to us may be the very ones who challenge the completion of our assignments from God, our purpose in his kingdom, and our destiny in Christ. Luke 12, 51 to 53. I'm sure a lot of you have wondered about this over the years. Says the following, suppose you that I am come to give peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law.
And those were words of Jesus speaking.
Right.
And you are going to say... It is evident
right
in the world
now,
today. And finally, the principle in chapter 4, we see that the devil will use our past to accuse us, that people will judge us because of our past, and that the truth of the past can be twisted into false accusation in the present. 1 Peter 3:16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. That conversation means lifestyle. For the sake of not rushing through the other two chapters that we want to look at and the principles that we find there, we're going to close for tonight, but we're not going to close on a note that implies the devil won, because he absolutely did not. Even though the work on rebuilding Jerusalem was stopped for a season here in chapter 4 of Ezra, the Israelites were not defeated in that purpose. As we will read on next week in the chapters 5 and 6, will see how God worked with his people to accomplish his plan and purpose, and how the people steadfastly refused to give up or to give in. And that is the attitude that leads to the actions of victory in our lives and in the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let's repeat the principles briefly in case that if you're taking notes that you might have missed something or something you wrote was incomplete. The first principle is many people have a selfish agenda. I guess that's not a big surprise. And not all who say they're with us really want to see us succeed. That's true. When we follow the plan of God for our lives, the devil will try to stop us. We are responsible for how we live our lives and what we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Those closest to us may challenge our faith and assignments from God.
And often do.
And often do. Yeah. That can't be true. The devil uses our past against us. That's for sure. How can you be anointed? Look what you did. Don't you remember this? Get behind us, Satan.
Yeah.
That may sound pretty discouraged to someone out there, but praise God. The strategies of the enemy are not hidden, and we have the truth of the Word of God and His faithfulness to see us through whatever may come. We are created to succeed, and the devil can't stop us. We have the choice every day to walk in love, building on the rock of our foundation, gold, silver, and precious jewels. And although we may face opposition, even on our families, we can love them anyway and not be affected by their actions or attitudes toward us. False accusations arising out of our past do not change who we are today, and we can press on forgetting those things that are behind. We press for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. In your name, Jesus.
Amen. And I just want to repeat that. We are created to succeed, and the devil can't stop us. The devil cannot God. Never doubt that, folks. Never. And, you know, I was thinking, Bill, before we pray, I was thinking of how many people in our family and our close associates thought we were just absolutely crazy to move so far out in the country. You know, don't you know how old you are? Those kinds of things, you know? But we're here by the call of God. And he is the one that sustains us. Hallelujah. So let's seal these principles. The revealed strategies of Satan and God's overcoming truth against them.
Hallelujah.
If that's what you would like to do, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud so that all the hosts of heaven and hell will know where you stand. The angels need to hear your voice so that they can hearken and obey and come and minister to you. And the devils need to hear your voice, all those demons out there, so that they don't put up a fight when we tell them to leave, because they know you've broken agreement with them. So pray with me. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you for showing me how the devil operates.
Thank you for showing me how the devil operates.
And that you are greater.
You are greater.
You are greater than my circumstances.
Greater than my.
You are greater than my illness.
greater than my illness.
You are greater than my opposition.
You are greater than my opposition.
Give me your spirit of discernment.
Give me your spirit of discernment.
So that I will not align myself with those who are not true.
That I will not align myself with those who are not true.
But I will adopt into my life.
That I will adopt into my life.
Those people with whom you would have me associate.
Those people with whom you would have me associate.
I break agreement now with manipulation.
I break agreement with manipulation.
And I repent to you, Lord.
Repent to you, Lord.
For having fallen victim to it in the past.
For having fallen victim to it in the past.
As I correctly discern your heart on the matter.
As I correctly discern your heart on the matter.
Of my associates.
Of my associates.
Help me to pray for them.
Help me to pray for them.
So that they can escape from the snare of the devil.
So they can escape from the snare of the devil.
Give me a greater ability.
Give me a greater ability.
To understand the wiles of the enemy.
Understand the wiles of the enemy.
His plans, his strategies.
Plans, strategies.
And to wear your whole armor every day.
Wear your whole armor every day.
So that I am ready and equipped.
Ready and equipped.
To conquer in the spirit.
Conquer in the spirit.
And see that manifestation revealed in the natural.
See that manifestation revealed in the natural.
I break agreement now.
I break agreement now.
With complacency.
With complacency.
That has caused me to be blindsided sometimes.
That has caused me to be blindsided sometimes.
I also break agreement with the enemies you named.
I also break agreement with the enemies
you named.
You named.
In this chapter.
In this chapter.
I break agreement with any spirit of deny.
Break agreement with any spirit of deny.
Aphorseth.
Aphorseth.
Tarpel.
Tarpel.
Afar.
Afar.
Arche.
Arche.
I break agreement with Babylon.
Break agreement with Babylon.
Susan.
Susan.
Dehaf.
Dehaf.
And Elam.
And Elam.
Give me an awareness of your presence in my life every moment.
An awareness of your presence in my life every moment.
So that I make correct choices.
So that I make correct choices.
And rightly respond to you.
Rightly respond.
Building on the foundation of Jesus.
Building on the foundation of Jesus.
Precious works that are motivated by love for you.
Precious works that are motivated by love for you.
And for others.
And for others.
Not dead works.
Not dead.
I break agreement with self-righteousness.
I break agreement with self-righteousness.
Fear.
Fear.
An ungodly obligation.
An ungodly obligation.
That only result in wood, hay, and stubble.
That only result in wood, hay, and stubble.
No matter how good they may appear.
No matter how good they may appear.
Help me, Father, to maintain.
Help me, Father, to maintain.
The love you put within me.
Love put within me.
For my family and friends who bring opposing words. I want my life to reflect the Lord Jesus.
My life reflect the Lord Jesus.
In every moment.
Every moment.
I break agreement with frustration.
I break agreement with frustration.
Anger.
Anger.
And discouragement.
And discouragement.
Keep me focused ahead, Lord. And not behind, knowing that whatever others may think of my past,
knowing that whatever others may think of my past,
it cannot change who I have become today. I break agreement with accusation.
Break agreement with accusation.
Victimization.
Victimization.
And self-pity.
And self-pity.
You alone, Lord Jesus, are my deliverer. And I ask to be set free from these hindering spirits. These enemies now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are so faithful to us. You are so true. You are so steadfast. And your heart is to bring freedom to your people in every area, that we can continue the work, the assignments that you have appointed for us from before the foundation of the world. I admit to you I can do nothing without you, but with you there is nothing I can't do. I take the sword of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and I sever generational cords of iniquity, evil soul ties that have held any of these things in place in your lives. I sever those cords completely. I loose you from those things generationally. I send back in the Spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you, and I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. I stand in the gap for you, and I forgive your ancestors and the persons in your life that have opened the door to these things. I forgive them. I release them into the hand of God, and I ask your mercy, Father, on them. I speak now to every spirit and spirit guide of manipulation and complacency. You get up and get out. Leave from every cell in their bodies now. I cast you out, and I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you, and you cannot rise again. I speak to the enemies in the spirit realm, whatever you are calling yourself in the natural world today, doesn't matter. We know who you are because God named you. I speak to the forces, the demonic forces of Deni, Apharsath, Tarpel, Afar, Arke, Babylon, Susan, Deha, and Elam. And I cast you out. Come up and out from their thoughts, their emotions, their physical bodies in the name of Jesus and mine too. Get up, get out, and go. I cast you into the consuming fire of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. I cast out every spirit of self-righteousness, fear, ungodly obligation, up and out. I cast out every spirit of frustration, anger, discouragement. Go. I cast out every spirit of accusation, victimization, and self-pity. Loose them and let them go. I speak to those things I have just named, and I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you. You cannot rise again according to the word and the truth of the living God. Get out. Self-righteousness, fear, ungodly obligation, frustration, anger, discouragement, accusation, victimization, all self-pity. Get up, get out, and go now. I send you to the pit. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, God, that you send your angels of burning, judgment, destruction, warring angels, to fight this battle in the spirit, in the second heaven, on behalf of your people, to put these things to flight to sweep up and clean out any hangers-on in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God, that where there was manipulation and complacency, that, Lord, you fill us now with a total yielding of all control to you. With a motivation to see your plan accomplished in us. To carry us into our destiny. And not just to sit around and wait for something to happen. Lord, I ask that where these demonic beings were working in our hearts and in our minds, that you tear down the gatekeepers that have held them in and have kept your word and your truth out. We take them off their post and we ask you, Lord, to replace them with porters from the third heaven, from your very throne room, to keep the gates of our minds and our hearts, to open to your word, your truth, your mercy, your grace. Where there was self-righteousness, Lord, help us understand the true righteousness that lives within us, Jesus Christ. Where there was fear, Lord, love, fill us with love that pushes out, casts out all fear. Where there was ungodly obligation, Lord, give us your compassion and your heart. Your compelling motivation to love and serve. Lord, where we were frustrated and angry and discouraged, give us your perfect peace and your perfect joy and strong courage. That we are strong and courageous. We are not a defeated people. We are a victorious people. Where there was accusation, Lord, and victimization and self-pity, give us humility that causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. Fill us up, Lord, with your purity and your power. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Breathe. Take a breath out there. Just breathe in the love of God, the truth of God, the freedom that he has for you. Breathe it in. Breathe it in. The breath of God. Ruach Kodesh. Hallelujah. If anyone out there has a comment or a question, you can push the *6 keys on your telephone keypad, and you will be heard. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. And if you like this message, wait till next week. Ooh, it gets so good.
Vicki?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello. Could I have
the phone number?
Could I have the phone number to call tomorrow? I'd like to get this teaching again.
Yes.
There's a lot there.
Yes. Text me at 904-993-2876. And anybody who wants the playbacks of this one or any of the series, just text me on that phone number and
okay.
tell me which ones you're interested in, and I'll get them to you.
Yeah. There was a lot of good things in tonight. I didn't get it. I couldn't write fast enough. Thank you very much.
I know.
Very good.
I'm glad I split it up. Praise the Lord. When the first time that I brought any message out of Ezra, I did all three chapters in one night. And I looked at it and I said, that's not even possible. So the Lord divided it up for us this time.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
God bless you, Helen. Anybody else got something to say? Star 6, if that's you. I encourage you to get hungry for the Lord.
It was awesome as always. Wow.
Well, thank you, my dear. God bless you.
You broaden my horizon every week. Thank you.
Whee! Hallelujah. That is
mm-hmm.
the point. We have to grow up and keep growing.
No, we are. All together. That's so wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you both.
We ourselves together are building
mm-hmm.
this temple.
And that was their Sunday school part of it.
Yeah?
That was part of our Sunday school lesson yesterday about our temple. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It does.
Well, you know, God doesn't do anything in the dark. And it is
mm-hmm.
not at all unusual for you to hear the same message or the same,
mm-hmm.
What is the word I'm looking for? Not the exact same message, but the same topic, the same theme.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In many places in the body of Christ at the same time.
Yes.
So I'm glad to know.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Anybody else? Thank you, Claudia. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Anybody else before Pastor Phil blesses us?
Hello, Vicki. I wanted to mention also was an excellent message, and it
Thank
really,
you, Lisa.
Really needed to hear it. But I wanted to comment as with family members that it's just the glance at family members can reflect, you know, the old self. You see the old self, and we need to be careful because they're the hardest, like, to change, you know, you see your change, but they don't, sometimes if you're not around them, they don't see that change, right? And what
That's
I wanted
right.
to say is we need to be careful because the enemy will put thoughts in your mind. And it's almost like they're saying this about, like when I see them, I'm with them, and it's almost like these voices are coming through the person, but they're not saying anything. But I hear these voices, these negative voices, and I have to say, is it maybe this is true? I'm just getting some discernment, and I was like, well, it's not like they said anything. But
right.
So if it's negative, I'm thinking it can't be true, you know. And then sometimes, like, no, I don't think so. I mean, you know, it's like this
yeah.
acceptance. It's very. So that's another thing
yeah.
I was going to say. We need to be careful when we're with family members that we don't allow the enemy to speak through our thoughts. to almost like jump into anticipating what they're saying to us. And it could be not at all. They could be like looking at us like, wow, she, you know, excuse me. They could be looking and smiling and, you know, having phenomenal thoughts about us. And we could be looking at this old self completely, because he'll do that, because he wants division. Especially mm-hmm. with family members,
well,
you know.
And that is true. That is true.
I was just going to comment before. I feel the strongest attack when I'm with the enemy is when I'm with certain family members. You know.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
I agree. And I mean, yeah, there are people in my family. I don't have many brothers and sisters, but I have a lot of cousins and you know, on both sides, and just a really big family. And there are many people in my family that I was very close to in my youth, and some of them still can't believe I'm a preacher. I've been at this almost 20 years now, and they're like, "Well, that what? Not her." So it's really, I agree. We do have to reflect the Lord Jesus. Most especially with those close family members and friends who have a hard time seeing us as anything other than what they knew before we knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah,
well,
very
thank
good.
You, Lisa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Anybody else got something to say tonight?
Hey, it's Gretchen. I wanted to add something about the family. Hi.
Oh, good.
I've been trying to just love my family and treat them spiritually the way I would a stranger, and not try to push myself on them, but just reflect the Lord, and hopefully that will help you, Lisa, with what to do. But if you just love them, they will eventually melt in the arms of the Lord. That's my hope and my greatest hope for those I love. And I just
Amen.
Want to thank you all for helping me work out my salvation with fear and trembling, and being all you guys being a part of my life. And I just want to say air hugs. I love you all, and thanks for being part of my family.
God bless you, Gretchen. And we are very pleased to be part of all of you, and you a part of us. We cannot get there without each other. I'm not going to make it without you. You're not going to make it without me. So let's just love each other and go on. Who else? Has anybody else got a comment or a question before Phil blesses us? All righty then. This message will be repeated.
I always seem to talk when I wanted to thank Gretchen for the great word, you know, to love them. It's so true. That's it. I got it. It's being in love as I'm with them instead of being in self when I'm with them. Because then I'm going to have another message coming through my thought. When I'm in, as she said, as I'm in love and I and I'm loving them, those thoughts, I'll know those thoughts are not the true thoughts, or they won't, or the enemy won't just have room to get in there, because he's the enemy will sense that love. So that was good. Thank you, Gretchen.
Amen.
And you and Vicki.
Amen.
And Phil. Very good.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lisa. Perfect. Just love, be in love and not in self. Perfect. Here you are, sir.
And we just thank you for that word. What a great word to close on. We are appreciative of that. We give you honor, glory for your word tonight. I ask you to seal it in our hearts, Lord, so that we know what to say and when to say it and who to say it to. Lord, thank you for leading and guiding in us. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord. We are a thankful people. We honor and give you glory and worship tonight. And as Aaron blessed the people of Israel, your permission, my Father, I will bless your people on the line with the same Aaronic benediction, first in Hebrew and then in English. Your glory. Yivarechecha Adonai. Ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Yifunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Ve'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace, give you shalom. And we add in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And we thank you for your blessing tonight, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your strength. I ask you to encamp your angels around your people this week. Give them a glorious, God-filled week with revelation knowledge, with strength, with authority, and with signs and wonders following your word. Thank you, Lord. Seal it in our hearts. Your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We will be here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. Again, Friday evening, this message will be repeated as the Lord brings it. God bless you all. Have a great week. Bye now.
Bye. God bless.
Thank you.